Okay, so Kurt, well, Jillian resigned, which I
Right.
think maybe you all know,
Because she's
because
moving.
she's moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she helped. She did try to help me find someone new. We had a bunch of suggestions to talk to people, and
Yep.
so she's not here. And then Kurt got the flu. He was going to come, but he got
Yep.
the flu. He said he would come on Zoom, and I was like, "Don't if you don't want to." I spoke with. So then I had Taylor make an announcement at a meeting that we needed a new member for the Board of Supervisors, and
Yep.
Jenny Porter said that she was interested. She works for the Agency of Ag as like a food system navigator and is your neighbor
Yep.
because of Sugar Bush near
She called
you,
us
I
the
think, in Newark.
Kirby Natural Resources Conservation.
Yeah, I know, but she seems great. But
Is
also,
that Ben Hutchins?
I don't know what her
Right.
partner's last name is. Yeah,
Oh.
or what his name is. But they're about to have a baby. They're gonna have a baby in like September,
Oh,
and so
wow.
I
Oh,
think
yeah.
she like heard it and was like, oh, that's not like that much commitment. And then she thought about it a little more and was like, maybe this is not the right time to fit. And I was like, I agree, but who's gonna say, you can do whatever you need to do. So I think she's interested, and probably in a year she'd be more interested.
Cool.
And then I also spoke with Ian Balcom, who used to be Sarah Damzell's chemistry professor at, yeah, BSU, which is funny. He seemed great and is very interested, and also has a lot of experience with dam removal, which I thought was like very in Massachusetts, who is doing really interesting stuff. The state of Massachusetts, they're doing a lot of dam removals and a lot of, like, I think more creative dam removals potentially. They have a lot more infrastructure, so it kind of has to be more creative, I would guess. This is all speculation, but so he could be a cool addition. He also lives in Kirby, which is like a town that I don't really have a relationship with, and don't know anyone in. So that it is in your zone, but
No, I've never lived in Linnonville.
no, he lives in Kirby.
I
Makes
must have
sense.
moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lived down the South Wheelock Road.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and he's interested. He just couldn't make it work today, so he said he would come. I told him about the plant sale and that we were all going to be there, and he should come check it out. But then our next meeting was in June, so I forwarded him that invite. So thank you for making that connection. He seems great. Yeah.
The one thing I would say is, I am home obviously because I'm lambing, and I just don't want to leave for long periods of time.
Yeah.
I have a sheep I'm like kind of worried about that I'm waiting on, and so I'm gonna guess here that I'm not gonna be able to stay on for the entire meeting just
Great. Okay.
because I have like
No
three
problem.
left, and it's
Yeah.
always the problems at the end. But anyways,
Yeah.
so I don't, I just wanted to make sure you knew that so that in case there was stuff we had to vote over, if we did it on the early side, that way if I have to tap out and I can't make it back before you
Yeah.
guys are done, then it's not going to mess anything up.
Well, okay, great. I don't, there is the one thing on here. Willie, do you actually? I'm not running this meeting. Willie.
Yeah, we are
I'll
I'll add on to Amber's. I have a hard stop at about 11, 12:40.
Okay, great. Okay.
So,
I
sorry.
am not prepared, so I'm happy to let you take the lead here.
You want to at least open the meeting and.
I didn't look at the agenda.
But you can open the meeting.
Oh yeah, the meeting is open.
Great.
Said that in my head earlier. I heard it.
It. Okay.
Emily, are you sure your screen, like, is there something on the screen people can see that I can't see?
Oh, sure. Yep.
Sorry.
No, you're totally correct.
Awesome. I can see you guys, but just in
Yeah,
case
yeah.
who am I supposed to be looking
No, I
at?
have the agenda, and I was gonna I couldn't print. I didn't have time to print today, so I was gonna maybe
Cool.
show some stuff. I think the primary lingering thing that I just want to run through a little bit is the financials, because I didn't have any financial reports last time. So we could do the minutes first or the financials. Doesn't matter to me, but might as well.
Well, let's do the minutes
Yeah.
and then.
Great. So minutes are here. I can zoom in on them if you guys want to. Whoa, scan them. This appears to be the bulk. We just, yeah. This is my not real 6 month budget check-in because I didn't quite finish it.
And capture the what we talked about.
Okay.
You an associate member?
Yeah. Okay.
But we have 3 out of 5, so
Yep.
Yes, because Amber's online.
So I move to accept the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Amber raised her hand at
Amber
that.
raised her hand.
Great. Thanks. And so to follow up on some of those things, I did put the local fund pool proposal in here. It's what Taylor pulled together. It still needs to be like accepted by NRCS, and then they work with us to pick the practices. So different than last year, we don't specify what practices we want in it until they accept our idea, essentially. And so we just explain the idea, which is like forest and ag landowners focused on flood resilience type practices. And we gave some examples of what we thought would be good to include in that. So to include forestry and ag practices. So we'll see. This year's local fund pool just, I think the ranking deadline was Friday. So I think they just finished ranking those and it sounds like it will be fully subscribed easily. So that's good.
Do they publish that list or when?
In terms of who is funded, I could probably figure that out. Yeah. Let me check in with Taylor on that. Yeah. Yeah, so probably we could get that information. So yeah, it's in here in the board folder for your perusal. And then in terms of the financials, I created a folder here. I have all the checking account statements from quarter three, which was January, February, and March. And then I was able to pull a profit and loss by project report. That looks fine enough to me, and I can step through a little bit of it. I also did a narrative as requested.
So,
Yeah, so yeah. Hi, Kurt. Okay. So this is the P&L by project. It looks pretty similar to what it used to look like, except the back end in QuickBooks is a little bit different. So it will make the most sense in a part like this. So this is NUIPIC is the funder, which we're calling customer in QuickBooks. And then these two columns are represent grants, grants with a specific amount of money going towards a project, which the projects we have now are now in classes, basically, which allows you to pull a whole project and then see the whole life of the project and all the project and all the grants that contributed to that project. So I'm hopeful that it will provide some good information on the lifespan of projects and how the different grants piece together. So each of these columns is a grant, essentially. And it's just what I've been calling it. So that, yeah, so the way to read this is the income is on the top here, and then the net income is here at the bottom for all of those. Most of this, the other thing we're doing is this line here called indirect overhead allocation. And essentially, the idea with that is it's actually what we used to do with Steve like years ago and then decided to stop doing. But I want to try it again because I think basically what it means is at the end of every month, taking each project has a certain amount of indirect costs that we can charge to it. So taking a percentage of each month's expenses and adding that on to that project at the end of every month. So basically, you can see if you wrote the grant well and if the grant actually covers your overhead costs. So QuickBooks doesn't do that itself. So I have to do it in a spreadsheet and then I do a journal entry to actually do it in QuickBooks to divide out that general class. And we're going to try it for some months, probably a whole fiscal year next year to like see if that helps better reflect like whether each project is covering overhead costs or not.
So it's you're doing it based on the receipts from the month, the expenses for the month
Yes, so
as
the
a percentage of
expenses.
that. So it's going to go up and down depending on how active your project is.
Exactly. So the expenses reflect the payroll amount, like the hours charged to that grant. And so when you take the percentage, you're essentially taking the percentage of the proportion of everyone's time that's being spent on that grant and adding it on a bottom line. And then in a journal entry, you're taking money away from this. I mean, you're not taking money away from anything. This is all like a fake sort of. It's just a way to see your expenses and income. So you're taking money away from that general operating project and putting it in all those pro in all those other projects with the assumption that those projects should be covering some of the time I'm spending at board meetings and going to the legislature and doing all those indirect-y type of things. Different projects have different amounts, and I'm going to try to reflect that without being too crazy about it, basically. Like some are old and still only cover 10%, and some are new and have a 15% indirect. So that's really the only difference I'll make in the spreadsheet. Since it's just to understand what's happening, I'm going to try not to be too prescriptive about it. I think in Dave Dory's ideal world, we would be able to then we'd be able to allocate all that indirect cost and then create an invoice directly in QuickBooks for each of those projects. That's what he wants. That's what he thinks everyone should be doing. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like every funder wants something completely different. And I can't just like create an invoice from QuickBooks. I understand that that's the ideal, right? But it just doesn't feel feasible right now. I'm still creating invoices outside of QuickBooks. I know other districts might do them in QuickBooks, and yeah, maybe someday that would be nice, but
I mean, I feel like
can't
it
do it right now.
ultimately all of this stuff just ends up being like, for right now, where are we most comfortable having the piece of it that is the least accurate or is mostly a guess? And there's a guess going to happen somewhere. And it seems like this is a good system. Give it a shot.
It's definitely feeling better than before, I think mostly because I understand it now and I'm in QuickBooks. And also because I think the project setup just like works better for our size and number of grants. So yeah, so you can see, you know, in the narrative I had a couple explanations for a couple things that were going on. I think one of the main takeaways for me doing this was like our AgQuip agreement and our basin planning agreement are not big enough for the amount of time that staff are charging to it, and I know that. And AgQuip, there's like not a lot I can do about. We asked for double next year and were awarded it, which is another agenda topic because it's been pretty controversial at Quit Board. So it'll be fine once we start a new award next year. And for now, I think it's oversubscribed because I'm charging it, Karina's charging it, and Taylor lost a whole month of Farm Bill support funding when the government shut down. So I think that had something to do with it too. We also get a payment at the end, which is part of this agreement. So the timing of the payments also has something to do with this. Basin planning has been a learning curve, just trying to figure out what Karina and I can both charge to basin planning agreement. And that's why it doesn't like I can't change what I it's a deliverable based agreement. So I'm just covering it with other things. Essentially, when I say oversubscribed, I mean like it's indirect from other things in the general class are covering that expense. It's not like people aren't getting paid for working on that project. It's just that we don't actually have the amount of money that we're charging to it. And I'm hoping to ask for more for next year. And we also have another source of funding that will cover some of that work too that I can talk about in a little bit. Those are two of the takeaways. The other takeaway is that I still need to figure out, I don't think this is going to happen again, but basically like this project we have for removal design, it's showing that deficit because the money all came at once in 2024. And it so this P&L is only from July 1st. And so it's not going to show that income. Yeah. So what I did is I pulled a project specific report for that grant and also put it in the folder to show you that while we did lose money on that grant, we did not lose $26,000 on that grant. And the reason we lost money is because I had Karina charge a whole event to it and I knew we didn't have that in the grant. I was like well aware that that wasn't being covered by it. I just wanted to see if it could cover it and it couldn't.
Better that than the experience I had where a bunch of things, money that came in once
Yeah.
was the total amount somehow had gotten listed as income for the following year.
Every year.
And so the communities ended up being actually way more in the hole than I
Yeah,
thought
than
they
they
were
originally thought.
because the finance person had just copied across, like, oh, that was
Oh,
a
sure.
$50,000 grant
Yeah.
in 23, 24, and
Oh,
25.
yeah. No, this is like the
Yeah.
opposite. Well, that's no good. Oh man. Yeah, so that's why that's showing up like that. Everything else is like pretty normal looking to me. I did a lot. I'm trying to be a lot more on top of billing, with two staff to support. That's how it's got to be. So this, even with that 20 negative 26, it's still just showing negative 7. So I think we may actually we'll see, but we may end up with a profit at the end of the year, which is different than I thought. But we'll see.
Hey
Yeah.
Emily, I just had a quick question.
Yeah.
I so it sounds like which is it sounds good that we got the Ag CWIP for the conservation district because I know there's a lot of people asked for money this year and not everyone got it. Did other districts not get Ag CWIP money or
Yeah, so we can talk about this now if you guys want, because
sure.
it yeah. So the way that
Because
it
I'd heard that.
yes,
Anyway.
there's probably some room, and it doesn't surprise me that you heard that. So basically, the way that the agency put a cap on what one group could apply for as like a large grant,
Yep.
and we all collectively decided to ignore that cap and submit a budget that was larger than that. The process of deciding that, I think, was a little bit unclear. Like I don't know. Yeah, I feel like we all were like, this is what we do every year. This is all just going to happen the same way it does every year.
And the we is all the district
All the
management
districts
system,
together. Yeah.
VACD.
VACD applied on behalf of all the districts. So we all submitted our budgets to VACD. Normally what happens is we submit a budget that's way over and the agency comes back and says, that's way over. Here's what we need you to get to. And we work among ourselves to then submit a new budget to VACD. Instead, what happened this year is I don't think we knew that the agency was going to do this. We submitted a budget that was way over, and the agency went into each district's budget and cut it themselves. Different than the past.
I mean, I've seen them do that kind of stuff before with like UVM, and they're just like, yeah, no, this doesn't count or whatever.
Or there's not enough explanation, or like, whatever it might be. We hadn't experienced that before. I think Michelle was pretty sure they were going to do that, and do it that way. But we didn't, I don't think that message was clear enough to us that that's how they would do
Have
it.
the conservation districts thought about applying to the Long Island Sound Future Fund or whatever that's open? Like it's closes in March.
Corey has had from Wyndham has had an Long Island Sound Futures Fund grant before that he's looped other districts into. He has told me that he's thinking about doing that again.
Okay, because I heard through the grapevine that there wasn't a lot of good applications for this part of the Connecticut, and that they were hoping that more of Vermont would apply farther north. So, because I got to go to one of those workshops with the woman who does like Thorn Environmental. They do like a bunch of,
I know they do. I've been to theirs before, and it was in Brattleboro this time, so I was like, I can't drive there.
yeah. Well, so I couldn't go either, was because of lambing, but Joshua got her to come to UVM to Berlin and do like a presentation separately, and that was really great because it was way closer.
What types of projects do they fund?
Sorry, what?
What types of projects does the Long Island Sound funding source, what are they
It's
looking
oh
for?
yeah, it's only water quality related. It's all funded through fish and wildlife, right? Is that right, Emily?
So they're pretty specific. So for natural resources projects, they have really specific geographic areas that they're interested in funding. They don't fund like culvert removals, which is mostly what I need money for in the natural resources bucket in the
I
Connecticut.
think they
But
do
they,
some culvert work though, Emily. That was on the list.
yeah, it's in a really specific geographic area, none of which mine
Okay.
are in. Yeah, I check every time. And then they also fund, which is more generally what we have sort of participated in the past, some agriculture work, but it's really focused on nitrogen reduction, which like Vermont generally doesn't have a lot of experience in. And so I think the project I was working on with Corey in the past was related to nitrogen reduction. It didn't end up in a lot of work for us, so we didn't really participate that much. And it also like got extended for a very long time, and I'm not totally sure why. It didn't really like, it didn't feel like it panned out on our end, but that could have been, I mean, Taylor up till now and still now, if based on the funding we have right at this moment, hasn't had like really the capacity to participate in a big way in a Long Island Sound Futures Fund project.
Okay. Well, it just
But
it
yes
occurred
is
to
the
me,
answer.
yeah, that
So that's what happened with AgQuip. We got our full ask. We got cut by like $15,000, but I had just chucked that in there as part of a cohort project that we were working on with Orleans and Essex. It was going to be fully paid out to participants of $15,000. So they just cut that, and then they didn't cut anything else. So
Wow.
our proposal was apparently rated the highest, which we now like got sent that like it got sent to everyone. So now everyone knows that, which is a little bit
Oh, lovely.
embarrassing. And
I
now
love
we have to
how
talk to their
everybody.
back.
Everybody knows the right way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I
With the
don't
targets on your back.
I know. I was like,
Well
oh, I like this, but also I don't like this.
done. Yeah, well done. Takes a win.
So anyway, so that represents 0.8 FTE. So we increased Taylor's to 0.5 and me 0.2 and Karina 0.1. So
AgQuip grant is for 0.8 FTE.
it pays for more at most districts, at least one at most districts FTE. So that's why I felt comfortable. We previously were paying for 0.3 FTE. So now that's why I felt comfortable essentially doubling our ask. So the plan is for Taylor to use that 0.5. And then the situation with NRCS funding is really hard right now. Basically, like the way that we applied for planner support for Taylor's job. NACD, not no longer through VACD, but this National Association of Conservation Districts. It's held up in some federal thing.
That's for Taylor to stay as a
Planner.
conservation planner.
We have enough to support her through the next fiscal year, if an ACD comes through, which we think it will.
So June 27.
Yes. Beyond that, like, people can't really tell me like how secure that funding is for her as a planner. I think if it goes away suddenly, we could totally support her with AgQuip, and I would just, Karina and I just not charge anything to AgQuip. It's nice for us to have that because it pays for certain things that are easy to charge to it. But Taylor could just use the whole 0.8 and whatever. We could do that for 6 months. But it makes me think about Long Island Sound Futures Fund and like other possibilities for to support her job. The other thing that's changing is pay for performance, which is that pay for, it used to be called pay for phosphorus. We had two farms enrolled who were making a good amount of money through it, $20,000, 15 to 20. They're changing the program entirely next year. And we're thinking about a more regional model of providing technical assistance for it. So that could be a source of work for Taylor. It's hard to know like how that will all shake out. That's really inconsistent work. So I would prefer not to have her be on that grant. Yeah. So that's the situation with ag funding. So I'm in good touch with like Michelle and with the Farm Bill support funding, mostly because I'm like, if we're not gonna be able to pay Taylor to do conservation planning, like not only is that a big deal for us, but it's a big deal for this office. Like she's doing work for them. Like it would be hard. She suddenly couldn't do work for them. You know, she has applications. She's working on them. You know, she's yeah. But I don't see any indication that that's going to happen imminently. I'm feeling okay about it. I'm not freaking out yet.
Good.
Yet. Yeah, I said yet. Okay, so that's the financials. I think that pretty much covers everything I put in the narrative here. 1204. So I explained the indirect allocation line and this net income. Yeah, and the grants for the culverts were over subscribing, but I think they'll initially, but I think they'll be fine. And we can talk about that in the project updates.
Question, Emily, when you guys
Yeah,
do
shoot.
culvert removal, do you
Yeah.
put like a new culvert that's bigger in or something else or?
Yeah, in one case it's a box culvert, in the other case it's more of a bridge situation. But yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thanks.
They're expensive.
Yeah, no, I know box culverts are like 100 grand.
Oh, more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's expensive. Yeah.
So that's the financials. I'm content. Oh, I guess the other thing is I'm almost done with our current contract with Dave Dory. We tried to work through like what a bookkeeper would actually do, and I'm finding it not hard to keep up with the things, the daily things that the bookkeeper was doing. And when we created a list of the things they would do that would be not something I would do, we were like, is this even enough of a job? You know? I still think I want to back, like, I don't want to be the only one in QuickBooks. That seems crazy to me. Dave said he would like be on retainer for the district to help with like those, you know, sometimes when I find myself Googling like 1099s for municipal entity, like I want someone else to help me with that. So he can do that. And he has said he would be willing to do that versus he's expensive, but like versus hiring a contract bookkeeper. I don't know.
Any sense of how many hours a month you're doing the bookkeeping work?
I think the next step for me is to figure that out and try to understand like, does that make sense for me to be spending that time? I think the challenge for me is that I have the feeling that I would spend just as much time like making like sending invoices to them. When in fact, like I could just be in my email, see the invoice, put it in there. It takes 3 minutes to do that versus like writing a whole email to them and then going back and checking it, you know, and
And
making
then
sure they
you're
did it right.
essentially supervising another person. in a
Yes,
way. And
exactly.
that
Right.
somebody who's probably going to get it wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
'Cause it's just like that's just how it is, right? Like it's no one's fault, you know.
And
So yeah, I'm not really sure
it
how to.
seems like, and I don't want to assume that you've had the same experience, but it seems like Dave's really pretty good to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, and like you said, he's expensive, but
And how expensive, sorry, okay.
no, go ahead.
How expensive is it? Like if you were going to use them for an hour or a month.
Let me look at his current contract, but I think it's like a billable rate that's not low.
Because he lives in consultant land, so
Right.
yeah, versus
I mean, he's
us.
not like, I don't think he's gouging anyone. I just think this
No,
is his life.
really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's mostly he doesn't. I wasn't aware that he would do anything like that
I
as an
didn't,
entertainer.
right. I didn't think that either, but he was like, but I know you, you're fine. Like you're not going to be a huge pain in the butt is basically how he
Yeah,
phrased
well, then just don't
it.
waste and
Right.
yeah,
Yeah.
no.
He's 160 an hour.
That seems, and if you were going to call him and meet him like half an hour, at a time or less than that at a time,
Yeah.
let's see.
I mean, the other bookkeeper was like 700 a month, the most recent one we've
Right. I
had.
mean, that's the thing. If you
Yeah.
think of it in those terms, then you say,
Exactly.
like,
I'm
okay, Dave,
cheap.
can we do 2 hours a month?
Yeah.
Or,
But like my time is
right.
pretty
No, you're
inexpensive
right.
in comparison to a
Sure.
consultant. Yeah.
Sure. And if all you need is expert
Backup.
help,
Yeah.
then it's probably better just to pay a high rate for a small amount of time.
I think that's where I'm leaning. We also have like this morning I spent 30 minutes on the on a Zoom with Lena, who works for, and she's anytime I ask her for QuickBooks or tax help, she's
Smith.
Smith. Yeah, she's like, sure, I have time tomorrow. Like she appears super available and she knows QuickBooks really. Like
Who's this?
Lena Smith, she works for VACD. And she
Research
does and the
and
conservation
Council.
just yeah, council. Yeah. And she does a lot of grant administration. She used to be the town clerk at Walden for like 20 years. So she and she yeah, so I've been asking her questions that I'm like, this is a straight up QuickBooks question. Like, I don't need to pay Dave $160 an hour to like look into this. I'm pretty sure Lena can do this too, and I'm not paying her. You know, she's doing this as part of her job, assisting districts with QuickBooks. So to me, like having those two
Yeah.
backups like kind of feels like enough.
You could also hire Claude. No, but you've also got you still
Who's
do
Claude?
AI. You still got bill.pay or what? Bill pay dot com.
No,
Oh,
we
yeah.
pay through Posumpsic Bill Pay,
Oh,
which is
so
free.
nice.
Yeah.
And then
It's
who
slow. It takes a
you've
week to
got a
get there, but
payroll company.
QuickBooks.
QuickBooks are doing payroll.
Yeah.
And then you are creating invoices separately anyway.
Exactly.
And so why can't
Exactly.
you just do the bookkeeping? And then who's going to do the taxes?
The well,
Do we do taxes?
we don't have taxes. We do have to do 1099s, which I did this year and took me forever because I'd never done it before. But I think now that I know how to do it, I think it'll be a little easier, although I'm gonna forget how to do it by next January. But it's not hard and I can write myself. This year I was just like flopping around trying to finish it. But next year I think I would write it and explain like a step by step so that I can go back to it next year to remember how to do it. But that's the only yearly thing that we do. The unemployment taxes, I had to figure out anyways because we weren't doing them right. So I went down that rabbit hole, you know. Yeah.
Do any conservation districts that do all of their own bookkeeping
Yeah.
in-house, do they do like annual or semi-annual like desktop reviews, just to kind of check that box that
An audit?
yeah,
Like an
not a
audit
full
light.
audit, but a
Yeah.
desktop review from a firm that provides that.
Are those,
Sometimes
are
grant
those? I've never
funders.
heard of doing that.
Well, that's why I was asking
Yeah.
if there's any other districts that do that.
Like I
Sometimes
know.
grant funders want to make sure that you're a solid organization.
Right. Like I've only heard of doing like full federal audits.
Yeah.
I've never heard of like an audit light
Yeah.
type of
It's sort of
situation.
like an audit of are your systems good?
Yeah.
Is everything in place? And then, they sort of grade you and, provide feedback as to
That's a really good question, because that too would make me feel better about like being the primary. I just keep thinking like I'm not a trained accountant, right? But I know plenty of people own businesses and do their own books. Like it's not like impossible to do.
No.
I just want to make sure. I think because we're also like a government entity, semi-government entity, I want to make sure we're doing it right. And
Can
yeah.
Dave do an audit?
Yeah, I don't know. That
It's
is
not an audit.
right. It's like a review, a desktop review. That's exactly what you're saying. Okay, that's a great question.
And then, maybe that just provides, do it not annually, but maybe semi-annually or every once in a while just to get the checkup.
I'll ask. Corey does most of their books in-house, and but he has an admin person that he hired to help him with that. He's a bigger district and more complicated grants. And then he also has Dave. He is using Dave Dorian the same way that I'm interested in potentially doing, as like a backup person, essentially. But his person named Arrow, they do, I think he described to me what they do, but he's still trying to figure out that admin position. And then Hillary does them all, Pulteney Meadowy, but again, her district is more complicated. She has seasonal employees, more employees, and is also a clean water service provider, like an entity that holds that role, which to me is like way more complicated. So they're looking to hire someone to help her. But other than that, I think every other district has a contract bookkeeper, is my impression.
Hopefully it goes without saying, but I think a really crucial part is for you to just to maybe it's on us to check in with you and make sure that this isn't turning into something that's actually a huge amount of work. And what you've said, it sounds like it's really like it, what you said makes sense to me. Like sending the invoice to a person to put the invoice in might take as much time as just putting
Putting
it
the invoice in,
and then reviewing that it got done.
yes,
And
exactly.
then, right. So as long as that is legit, feels okay, then. And I like the idea of the VACD person and Dave. Like then you have two.
And VACD is also trying to hire like an HR person, accounting person with visions of like assisting districts. I don't know like what,
And that
how,
sounds like
like
that was near
something they've
the Well, but
already.
that was near the top of my list of if you're going to be a useful organization, this would be the kind of thing you
You
would
need
do.
support, to provide support for them. Okay, cool. I have some tasks. On the same topic, because it's almost 12:40, we do need a treasurer. The other thing that I've been working with Dave on is a financial policies and procedures manual. Some of what it outlines would mean the treasurer would have a little bit more of a role, in the sense that they would like log in and spend 5 minutes reviewing financial statements, or even do it at the board. You could come like 5 minutes early to the board meeting, whatever, and just like look through, like check a checkbox, right? Like three things, and be like, I did that, I did that, I did that. Everything's fine. We haven't had anyone do that from the board. And the finance manual that I'm working on with him would be really clear about what I think in the past we just haven't been clear about what the treasurer does. And I think it should be a role for the district. I think we need to have the treasurer be doing something. And we don't have one.
I think we need a banker. Yeah, we need a banker. I met this woman from Community Bank. Forget her name, but she knows Patrick Hurley, a member of Magog Watershed Association. I think we should just ask. So, do you know any bankers?
That guy I bought my house from.
I think we should just, do you know any bankers? I think we should ask some bankers if they know anybody who's into conservation or what, or farming or anything, like one of their tellers or something. We should get a board member on here to do it.
I guess I would push back a little bit and say that it's not hard. Like, I don't think the treasurer needs to be, I don't think they need to be a banker.
No, but they might be, that would be the draw for them.
Yeah.
I'm on a board and I'm the treasurer.
Yeah.
And
And this is my very specific role.
yeah, no, I don't think about that.
Yeah. See, I know who I can ask. It's
Okay.
Cynthia Stewart.
I recognize the name.
She's a mover and shaker.
Yeah, she yeah. I could ask her, and she knows somebody that would be like she's trying to start a leadership thing up in the NEK that's
Cool.
similar to the one that I did at my last job. And she might even have like a newcomer to the area who.
Oh, yeah.
So, all
I
right,
think
cool.
we, yeah,
Yeah,
I
let me
think we
ask
need a
her.
younger person. We don't need a younger person. Or somebody new in the area who wants to connect to
Yeah.
things. Yeah.
I'm looking up a you're so
Name
ages
I'm trying
big.
to.
Remainder.
I almost feel like I have, yeah, I can't tell who has the most time and who I should ask to be on the board. I think it really just depends on the person.
There's a
I'm just turning this side. Yeah, I do love the ham one, you know. Ooh, the cinnamon roll already got sniped.
Oh
Nice job,
yeah.
everyone.
I went straight for
Nice.
it.
I like that. This is like the worst time because I'm so hungry when
We should get lunch food here. I mean,
I.
more
Well,
what?
you suggest specifically while we're. This is just easy.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll find us some nice source of lunch for our next meeting.
I'm into
Ethically sourced, or best food
ethical sort.
vegetarian.
$5 a person.
Is that the limit?
No, that would be
I thought
really
we need
cheap.
$50, which is too, and that would be like $10.
Peter Minnick is the name I was thinking of. He was a treasurer
I've heard
on,
his name before too.
yeah, he was a treasurer on Kingdom Trails when I first joined, and he did a really good job. He was a banker. He's retired now. At Community National Bank.
Perfect.
He's on ski patrol up at Brook Mountain.
Well,
Has yeah, a good history in the area. That
what's
would be
it,
a
Peter
Peter Minnick.
Minnick?
Right. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind?
I just couldn't remember his last name. Not at
You mind asking him?
all.
Great. Okay. I love it. We've had the treasurer conversation again. Again, everyone wants someone different to do it.
No, I was just throwing that out there as an option.
I'm just joking. I just think the conversation is funny, which is why I'm going to keep bringing it up. Okay. Let's see. What do we want to do with the remaining time here?
Question.
Yeah, please do.
There was recently that conservation districts are weighing in on Act 181. Is
Really?
that in a formal way or each independently?
Really good question. Officially, with consensus, we have weighed in the sense that Michelle Monroe testified in support of delaying the enactment of Tier 3 and the road rule, I think. Her testimony, she said she'd send it to us. I don't know that she has. It was during a rural caucus meeting, public testimony during a rural caucus meeting. And she originally wasn't going to give that testimony and then decided, because we were getting asked a lot about it, decided at the last minute to change her testimony to support the delay of those rules. I am 99% sure it didn't say like those rules are good or those rules are bad. She just, on behalf of Vermont Association of Conservation Districts, said they should be delayed in support of that movement that was supportive of that. Independently, with no consensus, other conservation districts have Yes, have weighed in on Act 181
Where have they done
at the legislature.
it? In testimony to.
I don't know if it's been in specific testimony, but it certainly has been in a way that's confusing and hard for the rest of the districts.
Is there, okay, does that answer you?
Does that answer your question?
Somewhat.
Yeah. What did
Somewhat.
you hear?
Well, I'm just it's in the noise that the conservation districts have weighed in, and they think this rule is a bad rule.
That's
So
not the consensus.
that sort of like
Yeah.
flavor that came out of it. I said, oh,
Yeah.
okay.
Good
That's
for you.
interesting.
No. I'm sorry that happened.
Didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one to two
But
conservation districts.
that's probably two steps removed from the actual source of,
Sure. I know, but it matters. That matters, right? That like people are walking around thinking that all conservation districts think it's a bad rule, because that's not true. We don't all think it's bad. I don't actually even like when I get asked about it, I'm like, I don't, this is not, like.
is there any explanation about what tier three and the road rule are supposed to do or prevent from happening? Like, is there a problem that's been identified that these two things target, or several problems?
Given that I work with two people who are very engaged in this issue to a level that I
You'd see them testify.
need. Yeah.
They brought a lot of energy.
Yes. But like, so I think one focus is pass the law and tell people it'll all be fine once we actually work out the details. And I think that's fair to be skeptical about that. Like, show me what tier three actually looks like, and then we know what to be concerned about before we pass it, rather than pass the thing and say, yeah, there's this thing called tier three, which might make it really hard to develop. We'll let you know, which is not a generally a great plan. So there's that. I mean, what's tricky for me, and these are the folks that I work with, is just that they're all about this is just the latest example of ignoring rural voices. And I don't disagree in some ways, like the whole thing about pass the law and then figure out the details. It's like, well, if the details are going to impact one part of the state more than another. And an interesting detail is how involved developers from Burlington have been in this process, but then that gets sort of brushed under the rug as well. So, I mean, I think there are legit concerns, but whether or not it just means the whole thing is evil, that's where I'm like, whoa, maybe
Yeah,
not.
it's interesting. It's been set up as this great compromise, but that compromise didn't actually engage to the level the rural the people that live in the rural areas that are most impacted by it. And making the law and then developing the maps and dropping those 2 years later, felt a little bit disingenuous, I think, to many people. And I agree that this one person said the poison was the process versus the outcome. And I kind of agree with that. And thirdly, the Vermont conservation design, which is the basis of this, was not developed for a regulatory purpose.
The 30 by 30.
No. So
No.
this is like the mapping of core habitats, the mapping of wildlife corridors. When that was first created, and they continue to say, this is theoretical. We don't actually know if these are wildlife corridors. And the legislature, rather than heeding that, said, we're going to make them wildlife corridors and put the onus on the people that are looking to do something in them to prove otherwise, versus the state proving that it is and saying, this is so special, we need to do this. So they sort of did it.
That gets to Mike, the question I have, because I looked at those maps of the wildlife corridors, and like that that part of it makes sense to me. Like, if we know that there are wildlife corridors that need to be protected, like that's something that, we should figure out a way to do that. Maybe
Correct.
not, probably not the way that this is trying to do it, especially if those aren't act, we don't even know if what's mapped is an actual wildlife border. But then, so that's like my one question, like, is tier the things that are being identified in tier three, are they actually important to conserve in some way or to make development in them harder? Is that even important for natural resources? And then the other question is similar with the road rule. Like, it are there an abundance of long roads that are causing some negative impact to natural resources that we can point to and say, this is why, when this is the problem, we need to do something. Maybe this road rule isn't the way to do it, but there is a problem that exists. Not, and those, I don't even know. Like, both these things came up for me, and they're like not things that have existed in discussion in this conservation.
Yeah, they're concepts around, ecosystem health. And, I think that, on one side of the ecosystem health conversation, humans are not part of it. And on the other end of the spectrum, humans are a part of the ecosystem. And they're just really not finding middle ground there. And, we know that, like, from an ecological perspective, that fragmentation, this, which is sort of what the 800-foot driveway rule is trying to get at, or road rule. We know that that has negative consequences. The tier three wildlife corridors is, basically they did a mapping exercise of core forest connected by forest cover along a road. And so the thought process is, because it's forest cover, because it's connecting to habitat blocks, that wildlife may use that as a corridor.
Yeah, that's
So
a stretch.
it sort of is aspirational. And where I think that we probably should have had a larger conversation is, okay, if these are so important, should we be incentivizing this for landowners versus taking the regulatory hammer? And I think that folks in the rural areas have done a really, really nice job of turning it around and using the language about displacement to bring home some of these points. So I think it's important to continue the conversation for sure. There was probably nothing really there for the meeting minutes that,
No, I was just thinking about what I was going to write. I will get Michelle's testimony. I think what I the way that I'll address this is I'll make sure you know what conservation districts have said with consensus and where that stops.
Yeah, that's important.
Because this that just mean I, maybe it's not right, but like I keep looking at this from that procedural piece. Like it sounds like BACD still has work to do. And I don't know if it's their job, but it's sort of
This is where we get stuck.
like, how do we, if we are going to the state as a single entity for funding, it just can't happen that there's testimony that people are popping off with wildly different things, especially if there has already been the consensus thing has been shared. So like that, maybe there's this, maybe it's like the Supreme Court, you have the group that passes it and then the people that disagree write their own thing. But and then the whole, then don't write the law until you've actually worked out the maps, or don't pretend that something that was an academic exercise is now the thing we're gonna make.
Regulate based on
Yeah. So like it does feel like it's, to me, the process piece is really, and that feels also more I feel like that's a bipartisan project that you could push on pretty well. It's like, come on. I hope we can all agree that you shouldn't pass the law before you figure out how it's going to impact people.
Yeah,
Like that seems pretty crazy to me. And I would hope there would be consensus on that. And it doesn't help that, the woman from Windsor County said it was urban dwellers versus cave dwellers.
No. What no, that's it.
That's not a
No,
winning strategy.
that was not a good call. But also, the Addison County representative that wouldn't allow testimony from rural people didn't happen.
So, yeah, home again worse. That's the chair of the committee.
The con so like a, as far as conservation districts in general having an opinion on a law like this, like the, it's only it feels tangentially related to conservation, like the things that are be the fragmentation and the wildlife habitat that are new, that seem to be the new aspects of this Act 181 versus what already existed in Act 250. Like, we don't have funding sources that are geared towards establishing wildlife corridors.
No, but we have a current use program that's been in effect since 1978,
Is there a
and
wildlife
that's
corridor aspect of it?
no, but I've long been advocating within my circles that things are different than in 1978, and communities have different values that they support. And I get that my department is really focused on productive forest land, and the Agency of Ag is really focused on agriculture, but communities have grown since 1978 and they're valuing different things. And perhaps we should be looking at,
Using the existing program in a different
using the existing program to expand out what society is saying is important now.
And I guess as for conservation districts taking stances on these policies, if you've noticed that happening more, that's true. Like that is a strategy this year in the legislature is to become more relevant in policy discussions. And I think we're still figuring out how to do that.
I think I would feel comfortable providing that if we were canvassing our landowners and having like a robust process to say, this is what we heard from our constituents in Caledonia County about this.
That's a really interesting thought, and I wonder if by the time we have our community meeting in the fall, part of that meeting could be like, here's what's coming up in the legislature next year. Like, here's the different topic areas that Vermont, the BACD may ask for some opinion from the conservation districts. Like, what's your opinion on these things? Because we don't have like a process of gathering feedback, and I think I'd be really curious to see what the just some districts say they do, and they hear from their constituents. That's what they say, XYZ, and
Or
therefore that's why they're in the legislature saying XYZ. But I don't know what hear from
Well,
means.
is it a single person
I
who
don't know what it means.
a single Would this
And maybe I have no idea. Like, maybe they are surveying people all the time and having big meet. I actually don't know, honestly. Like, they could be. I don't want to
I
like
mean,
leave that off the
I'm
table.
hearing from my landowners, that are calling me asking what this means, for their current use. So yeah, I'm hearing, but these are the people that are probably most concerned about the effects on them. But I don't think that's, I wouldn't be in a place to say that that's all of my
What people
constituents.
think, right?
But I've heard you talk about the example you gave either one or two meetings ago, but there are so many, I mean, get the words wrong, but like sort of log skidding roads that people just bash through the forest. And they're probably, I think you said there would be like hundreds of culverts that should be on those if you really wanted water to move the way it's supposed to move. And
That's a
that's
problem we're looking for a solution
Yeah,
to.
right. That feels
Sorry.
like something I would just want the expertise from, so as a landowner, I might have an opinion about it, but like you actually do the work in the places and know the stuff. in a way that I don't. So I would want it, a good process would also include, okay, let's get people involved who actually are out there doing the thing. And then a tiny detail is, as far as fracturing, splintering habitat, I imagine there's a huge difference between a dirt driveway and Route 5. So,
Or like a one or one dirt driveway winding up a hill
yeah.
versus one dirt driveway winding up a hill with 15 driveways coming off of it. Like fragmentation isn't a line through the woods, it's lawns and houses and multiple
Yeah, but
rows.
there's also different impacts on different species for different types of fragmentation. It's like, when they're mapping, they did not consider the DC line that cuts across Essex County as a fragmenting feature. And, that's 150, 200 feet wide swath. That's a vector for brown-headed cowbirds. For other species, for invasive species, but because it didn't meet the specific mapping criteria, they didn't include it.
Exactly what you're saying. It wasn't meant to be a regulatory
No,
tool for my
it
conservation
was
design.
meant to
It's
be
a
like
thought
a
exercise,
thought
essentially.
exercise
I mean, a well-informed thought
to
exercise. Don't
be thinking about
downplay
these
it.
considerations,
Yeah.
but not
That's what you're
actual
doing.
hard lines.
Totally.
And the legislature took it as hard lines.
Right.
Specifically being asked not to.
We've got just enough time for Matt to
I
go.
gotta go. I'm
It's
sorry.
too bad. I wasn't. I don't. Matt. I went to the presentation of the St. Johnsbury Knob, the
Oh,
observatory knob
yeah.
property.
I heard it was interesting.
It was great. Apparently, they
Cool.
did an awesome job. I want to sell environmental resource assessments everywhere. They're so awesome. And
Didn't they record it?
your forest, they featured your forest
Oh,
management
good, good.
report. Yeah.
Did they record it? Do
Cool.
you
No. But the report itself is really good. So thanks for
Cool.
it was like
Hannah went to the meeting,
Hannah was
cool,
there.
good, and she was like, "I think I want to get on that committee."
Yeah, you should get on
Yes.
that committee.
Joe Fox was there, and I was like, this is what we needed for the town forest when we were trying to write a town forest management plan. Well, we needed a professional.
Or a baseline of like what's there and what should be. Yeah. It's nice to have something to work from.
No, I told Hannah she needs to get on that committee and
Yeah.
expand that work out to include the town forest and the watershed,
Yeah.
because there's 1,200 acres right there that could use a group of dedicated folks.
The watershed.
St. Johnsbury owns 1,200 acres in Waterford.
Oh yeah, for the drinking water.
All right, guys.
Cool.
Talk
Thank you,
to
Matt.
So the Section 125 plan is the next thing I have on here. I'm not sure if we've talked about this or not.
Can we go back to the agenda?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the agenda, but you are.
Yeah, can you, Emily, can you make the screen bigger so it's not just like it's like
Yes.
your drive?
Yes. Sorry. I get so annoyed when
I know that.
the bar is just, yeah, there we go. Okay. There's the agenda. Do you see it, Amber?
Can you blow it up to?
Yeah, looks good. Thanks.
I'm gonna make it bigger. I just want percentages. There we go. So this came up because Taylor came to me with a challenge, which was that her income just puts her just over the amount for health insurance. Yeah, it's like one that's the income cliff. She's essentially just past that income cliff. So she is wondering about the district doing an HSA on her behalf. So there's two ways to do a health savings
Simple
account.
adjusted gross income
Yes, exactly.
and HSA. You could give her She could put more money into her retirement too.
She would have to do both in order to put her income over under the limit that
Okay.
she wants to be under. There are two ways that can happen. She can either do it on her own. It's a little bit more complicated from a tax perspective because you do it on your own. You take it post-tax and you put it in an HSA account. And then my understanding is when you file your taxes the next year, you get reimbursed the amount. Because if you're taking it post-tax, you've already gotten taxes taken out and you shouldn't when you're putting it in an HSA.
Yeah.
And it's both of our understanding that that would still make her, that would make her, that would still achieve the goal of the adjusted gross income coming under the amount that she would like it to be. The other option is for the district to do that on her behalf. In order to do that cleanly, we would need what's called a Section 125 plan. Anytime you're taking pre-tax dollars, with the exception of a retirement account, it seems like. Although now that I say that out loud, maybe we're supposed to have one anyways because we're doing a retirement account. It basically, having that plan makes sure that you aren't unfairly discriminating against any employee based on income and like not giving them the pre-tax benefits that they're supposed to get. It's like a protection, a legal protective document, I think. If we do an HSA for her and we administer it, then we have to have a Section 125 plan. That's what would trigger it. I got a quote for it. It costs, I think it has to be updated every like 5 years or something, not very often. This is the company that did it for VACD. And the plan itself is 325. And then you do like a year of non-discrimination testing. So it'd be 325 plus 200 plus 350 per eligible employee. So that's not very much, but for us, because it's only three of us. So it would be like 535, basically, in total, to get the plan document and do the non-discrimination testing. That's a question that I need to understand is if we're supposed to have one anyway because we do a pre-tax retirement contribution. I'm not really sure why I didn't think of that. In which case, we have to spend this money to get one. But I guess if we don't have to do one based on the retirement contribution, the question for the board is like, do we want to get one so that we can offer an HSA, basically? Like otherwise we wouldn't be able to offer one. We also get because it's taken out pre-tax, we would get a slight discount on payroll taxes, basically. We would pay less payroll taxes. Like flat out, like we would save money on the payroll taxes. I would have to deal with it. So they probably even out, honestly.
And I don't mean to complicate, but I can't help but connect this to the should there be a notch more money for home Wi-Fi conversation? Like, would an HSA be a better thing
To spend my brain
to
power on.
spend your brain time, but also like have that be a chunk of money that goes to each employee.
Oh, like an employer contribution.
No,
Yeah.
we
Yeah,
already
that would.
provide $7,000 in post-tax funds.
But if we.
It's supposed to be for health insurance, but it's just an addition to their taxable income.
So we could move that to the
That's what
HSA
we would
contract.
do.
Yeah, that
That's
would be
but
awesome.
it's but it is under the contribution limit is less than $7,000.
Yeah,
So it's a little bit
we'll just max
complicated in the
out.
sense that we would max it out and then do the rest as taxable income. Taylor would put the rest into retirement eventually so that she could stay under that income threshold. Yes, it would be a specific. The reason that I'm leaning towards it is because it is a like nameable benefit that we're providing for people. And I think it's nice in this era of crazy health insurance to be able to offer that. It requires the plan and administration, but I'm not that scared of that.
Well, if you want to do it, I think we should.
I
Okay.
two thumbs up for sure.
Okay. Okay. I think what I'll do then is request the plan and then try to do it this fiscal year. Because I think the sooner on Taylor's end that it is set up the way she wants it, the simpler it might be for her. Although I'm not sure about that. The other option is to wait until the next fiscal year and put it in next year's budget and just make sure that it's in next year's budget kind of thing.
I mean, at this point in the what remind me of the fisk is it
Yeah,
July 1?
June 30th is when it ends
Yeah,
this year.
so I mean, at this point, researching and figuring out how to do it.
Oh, I know who I would ask. I think they could do it within before the end of the fiscal year.
Oh, okay.
Would be my impression. Yeah. I don't think they're that
Okay.
hard. I
I
think
don't.
they just
It,
use a template. I mean, it's $325. So they must just use a
yeah,
template, you know,
right.
and just like,
It's still only 2 months, but
I mean, it's whatever.
it seems like the kind of thing we could put into next year's budget.
And just do it next year.
Do it in June.
Yeah.
Yes, fiscally. Do it in 3 months
Yeah,
instead of doing it now.
Start it July 1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I see what you mean. To
Unless
start a
Taylor
new
has a
benefit
qualified.
July 1. Yes.
Yeah.
So then pay for it this fiscal year and
Yeah.
start be able to start the benefit July 1.
Yeah,
I like
because
that.
Taylor,
Yes.
unless she has a qual, I mean, I don't know if she's gonna know she has a qualifying event before June, but she probably won't be able to enroll.
She's already doing it. She enrolled in like a low deductible. She did everything and set it up herself,
Okay.
basically, and is doing the post-tax contribution and enrolled in one of the plans that
Oh,
you
all
have to
right.
have in order to have an HSA. She has an HSA set up in a bank. Like she already
Okay.
did it because I was like, uh-oh, if I do it, I have to get a second 125 plan. It's going to take me a little while, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah, HSAs are good.
Okay. Great. Do you guys feel like you, I mean, Amber, I don't know if Amber's still here, but do you feel like you want to vote on that or like?
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm just kind of quiet. I HR stuff is not my wheelhouse.
No, it's cool. I'm more just asking if like they both, Willie and John are both like, we should do this, but I don't know how they feel about how you all feel about like wanting to vote that you should do that.
I think it
I don't
sounds like a
know.
good idea. I mean, it's not like she has a ton of benefits, so.
Why don't we vote to do it now?
Sure.
And then
And
what we'll vote to do is have you update. Do we have some policy with benefits in it?
yes, although if I update it, I have noticed wording in other people's policies that are like the district will offer some form of health insurance. So you don't have to amend the personnel policy like every freaking time you change it.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a
The only question
votable
I had
grant anyway.
is this also cover Karina? Like, is it everyone getting something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
Okay.
currently we offer a $7,000 post-tax stipend, so that would stay the
Okay.
same. If you elect not to
Okay.
do an HSA, you would do the same
Okay.
thing, basically, that you've always done. I would also do the same thing that I've always done because we both have partners that cover our health insurance.
Cool.
This would offer someone who doesn't have that to have the option of an HSA.
And,
Yeah.
but I mean, not to add complication that you may not want, but isn't it, wouldn't it still be worth it for you? Because you would have less taxable income and you would.
No, because I have to be in a specific type of plan.
You
You
have
have to
to.
be in that like high
Yeah,
deductible.
I
I was
got
like,
you.
there's a
Sure.
reason that
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to
that's
me.
right. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. It says a single employee for employee single. Person 4,400 employer.
And then the
Oh,
employee can
no, I
put,
guess it's only half of that.
yeah. It's definitely under the 7K and it's more than it used to be, but it's
Yeah.
still pretty
Okay.
well under. It's not really enough.
I guess the employer could contribute all. For family, it's only 7,000.
Yes, for a family, it's more.
And HSAs are can be used as retirement accounts themselves.
Yes.
And
Oh.
you can put all of the money in your HSA into investments,
Right.
and then you can save your medical
Split it,
bills until
basically.
your retirement, and then you can withdraw money penalty free. Won't
Yeah.
even count as income.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's the.
it's like a Roth IRA times two, basically.
But
So that's what
even in that case, you have to be enrolled in a high deductible plan, right?
only while you contribute.
So you can contribute while you're young and healthy. And
Yeah,
that, yes, is the idea. Got it. And then you can save it until you're old and you want to draw from it.
and it will invest and grow. Yeah,
In theory. Yeah. Capitalism.
in theory. I mean, as long as the go world as we know it exists. It will grow.
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay, so did you decide, do you
I
want
think it's a votable thing.
to?
I
Okay.
think it's a thing to, you can note that that Amber will
Everyone's
eventually
in agreement.
vote together.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to vote. Let's vote to make this possible for her.
Yeah, I think John's saying he doesn't think it needs a an actual vote.
Oh, he doesn't need it. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Great. With the plan. I will move forward with the plan. let's just go ahead.
I
Keep
just
going.
wish for your sake, Emily. I wish that like there's so many districts in Vermont. I wish they
I
just had
know.
the same rules and that all this stuff didn't have to be like reinvented like for every district. It's such a waste of time, in my opinion.
I know, Amber. We're
And like, do
trying.
you need me to tell the, I don't know, who's a ringleader in this case?
Well, the problem is there isn't one.
Well, do you
Yeah.
have page for the district managers?
Yeah, we've talked about having. Yeah, we still all communicate via email when we have little silly questions for each other. And we've talked about all having Teams or all having Slack or all ha but then no one has either A, no one's pushed it forward, and B, if it's a subscription cost, everyone's going to say no.
Well, you
Because
should.
we're all just like, no, we don't want another thing on our
Right.
desktops, you know.
You could just send an email to your group and be like, "Hey, everybody, I'm setting up a Section
Yeah.
115 plan for my employees
Yes,
so that
we
we can contribute to the HSA. It's a great idea. Why
Yeah,
don't
we do that.
why don't you copy me in the
Yes.
ad quip thing
Yes.
and in
Yes.
this?"
We definitely do that, Willie. And it's because sometimes I think people think we don't share any information. I get information from other districts all the time. And we all are like, yes, copy and paste my X policy. You know, like we all know that we all have to do it, and we definitely copy each other's stuff. And Lauren didn't know that she had a sec needed a Section 125 plan, and I knew that she had this other document. So I've been communicating with her that she needs it, and she was telling me she was doing an HSA, but just for herself. And I was like, well, you're actually supposed to have a plan, whatever. So I'm in touch with other districts about it. I think not many have HSAs or health insurance. Or yeah, most like some districts, like Corey, just does like a percentage, like fully taxable benefit stipend, essentially. Uses like 20% of your income, like that's what you get for your benefits. He doesn't do anything with it. He just gives it as extra income. So people approach it in really different ways, I think. Okay, thanks. I wanna before everyone has to go, I do wanna just review the plant sale plan. So we talked about it at our NEK meeting. We all ate at Parker Pie and chatted about the plant sale.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great. And Sarah usually organizes it, and it's been nice to just talk with our staff about what they're doing. And yeah, it was cool. So here, this is the kind of the plan. Yeah, it sounds like she's wanting everyone to be there between 8 and 8:30. At 8:30, we'll all get together and review how the day is going to go. Yeah, you. I think John, you're down here. Yeah, John and Kurt got voluntold to do parking. Willie, you're not on here, and I emailed Sarah and was like, "What do you want Willie to do?" But I actually think what's going to be great. I actually think what you're going to do is sit on at the CCNRCD. There's going to be a table, CCNRCD table, so you can sit there
Just
and
hang out.
yeah, just hang out and chat with people about the district, which you love doing. So
I
it's
do.
perfect. And Sarah has asked me to do a very like. She basically was like, I think Emily's brain is going to be good at this, which I'm excited because it's like finding specific things for specific people from this one way of ordering. Full circle plants is like what she gets these big, like potted plants. They're like more expensive, but older plants was the impression that I get from a nursery, a local nursery. So she sells those too. So that's what I'll be doing. And then Amber, I don't think you're on here either, actually. I thought you were going to do parking
Oh,
with
that's
them.
board member.
I can do whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, here you are. You're a board member helping folks pick up orders. So you're going to help people pick
Oh,
up
okay.
orders. Yeah.
Great. And
And
I think
maybe John and Kurt will
I'm
fight you to change to alternate. What were you going to say?
Sure. I think let's see, am I on there? 'Cause it's like, is it 8 to 2? Is that right?
Yes. So I did you had you said that you were gonna need to be a little bit late?
I might not be there till 8:30, but I think I'll be
I
there
think
at
8:30 is
eight.
fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
And you guys are okay with being there between 8 and 8:30? Okay. Okay. I just wanted to confirm all that. Yeah, I think it should be fun. And Karina is going to talk about productive buffers. She's going to like have her own little table, talk about buffers, tree planting stuff. And Taylor is assisting with a mushroom workshop that they got Interlace Commons to do. And it's like a paid workshop that people purchased when they purchased plants.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then Ted and Clara are going to do a willow staking workshop, kind of like across the road by a stream bank. There's going to be crepes and some other local products for sale.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
Yeah,
It's like in a
actually.
couple of weeks. I'm gonna go not next week, but the week after to help like one day. And Karina and Taylor are doing the same. I think one of them's only going a half day and the other's going a full day. So that will be good. And then we'll all be there on Saturday.
There's no plant swap that's part of this, right?
No, there will be day of plants available. She orders extra stock specifically to make sure there's some available on the day. There's not a ton, but there's usually some.
Control my
Your
impulse
ambition.
buy stuff. Yeah, we bought a bunch of stuff this year.
Yeah.
Then I get home, I'm like, oh
Oh my
crap.
God, where am I gonna put this?
I
Yeah.
can just imagine this is like better than Christmas for so many people.
Yeah. Oh
Just
yeah.
come home with like 50 plants. So like, oh my God, oh
Yeah.
crap.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and I think these are quite competitively priced, is my impression of the plants sold at the plant sale. So I think that's why people go to it, you know. And they like conservation districts, I guess. there's gonna be a stream table there, the soil health trailer is gonna be there. Fish pickup, trout. She also does trout. So there's also gonna be
That's my
fish.
favorite part.
Yeah.
Having, I think I've said this before, like having worked at a pet shop in high school, when I see them transfer, I'm just like, nope,
You're doing it wrong. You're doing it all wrong.
they're inevitably like, whoops. And then I see, there are trout on flipping on the ground and people on their hands and knees trying to pick them up.
My
It's just
God.
like, oh, wow.
That's funny.
Well, so why aren't you
Yeah.
doing the trout transfer?
She does not. She does not appear to want volunteers for that.
I already got kicked off the thing I signed up for,
Yes,
so
right. So
I am now officially out. I'm just going to do what I'm
yeah.
told, which I should have anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. I'm excited to like go see the whole thing and try to like envision how we can be part of it. You know, I think it's great.
It's a cool event. It's
It's
just
so
it's really
cool.
fun.
Yeah, totally. So that's plans out. Okay.
What's next?
What projects are you interested in?
Well, I want to tell you about the knob thing just a little bit more.
Great.
Yeah, so the report is awesome.
Yeah.
They like mapped, it's like 102 acres, I forget, 147 acres, something like that. They mapped it with all of the different interesting natural resources. So like where certain types of forest, they classified the different types of forests. They showed you where like the most ephemeral plants are going to be blooming like right now. I showed you where there's a vernal pool and where the streams are and where
Cool.
there's like a culvert that's causing erosion and where the deer have wintering are. And then they had like pictures of young trees that had been eaten by the deer in the wintertime that weren't going to grow up because the deer had eaten them. And they talked about how there's all this seed stock in the soil, but there's so many deer that the native plants can't get established. And so there's these invasive plants. And all that comes from Matt's forest, or well, I forget what they're called, his forest report. And then they talk about where the invasives are and how to deal with them. And then they presented where the current trails are and then recommendations for relocating the trails. And they evaluated some spots where some parking might be able to go in. And then they have like a whole section about recommendations for management, which were got somewhat controversial. Like
In what way?
there are strong opinions about whether hunting should be allowed on public land, I guess. I mean, I
And
can't.
in
I hate
urban, more
emails.
urban areas, I
And
would
in more,
imagine.
yeah,
Yeah,
right.
that's really the primary thing, I
Yeah. And
think.
that's so hard. And it's also like you just, and what you just talked about, we have, there are way too many deer.
Yeah.
And no, nothing's killing deer except people at this point or disease. So, you know.
But so there was some discussion about where, so St. Johnsbury doesn't allow discharge of firearms within certain limits. So there's some discussion about where those limits are. Then there was just some general discussion about even bow and arrow hunting shouldn't be allowed because, you know, somebody's going to get shot with a bow because that's happens all the time. Like, I don't know. It blew me away. But one thing I wanted to share was one of the Peacham Select board members who I know, Alfred Dedham,
He was there.
he
Cool.
was there because he, I guess they're thinking about doing one for the Cow Hill Town Forest.
Oh, cool.
And I
A
told him,
similar assessment.
yeah,
Cool.
I told him to get in touch with you.
Great. I am already in touch with him via that Governor Maddox, which the design RFP came out today.
I saw it.
Great.
Yeah, so
Hey,
that was.
I gotta run, you guys. I gotta go check on that sheep.
Okay.
But that does sound interesting. We should talk more at some point about the deer problem. I do think it's pretty in like connected to the coyote problem, which is that people are killing coyotes for no reason. There's no season on coyotes, and coyotes do kill deer. I have been working with this biologist out of New Hampshire, and I ran three workshops this year for farmers on why
Oh,
killing
yeah.
coyotes makes more coyotes and also disrupts their life cycle and potentially makes them more dangerous to livestock. And I think we are going to try to put together a task force of people to go before the legislature and try to get a season put on them so they don't just get killed year round. But it will be farmer led. The problem is that because I work for UVM, I'm not allowed to lobby for any cause, but I am allowed to like give factual like
Testimony information.
testimony. So maybe the conservation district could get involved because I'm going to try to get rural Vermont on there too. Anyways, it kind of like gives me that thought about deer because they are such a problem. And coyotes are getting bigger because, you know, they're basically breeding with the eastern wolf. And so they are taking a lot more deer than they used to. Anyways, Chris Shadler, you can look her up. Shadler, she's awesome and she's got tons of info on coyotes. So
Cool. Thanks, Amber.
but yeah, no, I heard what you're saying. That sounds really interesting. And I do like Alfred. I saw his giant pumpkin last year.
I don't know how that guy does everything he does.
I don't know either. He
Yeah.
had that pumpkin was amazing.
Cool.
All
Bye,
right. See ya.
Amber.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Cool. Thanks for going.
Yeah.
Taylor had told me about it and I did want to go. It was just not the timing wasn't right. But yeah, she was like, we should go for, as a staff, you know, like it's in St. Johnsbury or our office is in St. Johnsbury. It would have been a cool like staff bonding. We could have like, yeah, but it just the timing didn't work out. Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to have one, like Matt said, for the other town properties. Like everything.
Yeah.
I want to go try and sell it to landowners now. I want to do
Well,
one.
so towns do them essentially the same thing, like natural resources assessment. And, you know, in theory, the conservation district is supposed to have a natural resources assessment for our district. There's no like clear way we would pay for that, or
Right, it's kind of,
it's kind of
this was so specific.
exactly. Yeah. And that's way the town ones are even less detailed than that one, right? And they kind of have levels, right, of magnification, but it is like a really cool process, and I think it can really like engage people who aren't always engaged in these discussions. So,
So, quick selfish question that one or both of you may know the answer to. So, my property is on the side of a hill. It's a little under 2 acres. There is a town or state culvert
Oh, you've asked me
that
about this
goes
before.
under my driveway, but then, so it goes under my driveway. There's sort of a flat-ish part for my driveway and my house, and then it just drops off, but our property ends at the bottom. And there's another culvert like here underneath the next road. But the water in between just like is, you know, depending on the time of year, it's almost like a waterfall down to the other one. And so it's between my property and the next house. Who would be somebody good to talk to take a look at that place and say, like, oh, wow, you're not doing these things that could stabilize this hill and make sure it in some weird place it wouldn't wash away? Or because there's a big row of arborvitae that the previous owner planted on the side of my driveway, and then the downhill neighbor did the same thing on their backyard. So it's like arborvitae, super steep slope that water runs down.
Is
And
the super steep slope your
it's
property?
mine. Yeah.
I mean, probably just not having actually been there, like the more like vegetation that's on that. I don't
Yeah, it's
know.
all full of brush and stuff.
Yeah.
I just didn't, I just didn't know if there's somebody who could like
Yeah,
walk it
I could
with
do
me
that.
and you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Willie would be better at it than I would. I
You
could.
could.
Because
Yeah.
we've done road erosion inventories for towns. And so I think the only question for me is like if the solution is related to the road and changing in some way the culverts that are set up in the road, you have to talk to the road crew.
That's
Because
fine.
they're either
Yeah.
like required to do it or they're not required to do it as part of the municipal roads general permit. And if they're not required to do it, they probably won't change it. Because they've got a lot to do
Well, and what's
to
weird
comply
is,
with the municipal
yeah,
roads
there's
general
the
permit.
road culvert, and then I guess the previous owner did a mini culvert
Mm.
just beyond it that
Mm.
goes, and
Yeah.
I just, it's one of those things, what, regardless of what happens, I would just love to know, like,
Yeah.
okay, that's
Yeah.
okay-ish.
Yeah.
Or, oh God, that's
Yeah,
probably not a
that's
good
gonna
idea.
explode. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, at
Willie's
some
got it.
point.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking to when I was talking to Ian about those kind of things too, like there's nobody knows exactly how water is going to behave. And that's why engineers like to put things in pipes or in straight culverts,
Right.
because then we can model it and we know exactly what's going to happen.
Mm.
But when you go out into a natural environment, you try and make it so that it can be natural again. We don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there are some things that we can measure, like slope and the amount of water there is. And we can guess at like velocities of the water and how much material it could move. And then there are things we can do to try and slow them down or direct where things will erode or where things will settle. Yeah. And
A few
then,
years ago in the flooding,
yeah,
a good portion of the road ended up in our yard.
right,
Yeah. And the water went up and over the culvert. And luckily didn't, there wasn't so much of it that then eroded down to the culvert. It just kind of, for a few hours, it went over the top and then dropped. And it was, I mean, it was really, we were super lucky. It didn't really do anything. But other than I got sand in my hair, but who cares?
Yeah, but like you. And this is one of the things that I'm struggling with as an engineer. Like anybody who understands the stream or culverts or erosion could give you advice on how to proceed. You don't need like a licensed engineer to go in and even to replace the culvert. You don't need a licensed engineer to do it. So that's one of the things in my business I'm trying to be like, well, I can do those things, but that like, so can a bunch of other people.
And it, and it provides currently lots of both culverts provide transport across the break in for groundhogs.
Aquatic organism.
That
All
off. No one needs groundhogs in their garden.
right,
That's funny.
let's see. We're for construction.
Yeah. We're I think today I'm gonna release the bid for removal of Weir Four in the Sleepers Watershed. So I've been
Now, was
working
that
with
the
an
one that
engineer.
you were going to decide whether the engineer would also do the construction?
I decided to have them do the
Yes.
construction.
Okay.
Yes, it was a firm that I have had a hard time with, but I think they're going to be fine for
Okay.
construction. Yeah. I think it's easier than the
Yeah.
alternative.
Yeah.
And they're not going to charge me very much either
Great.
for oversight. So we'll see like how much
Yeah,
oversight they
right.
actually provide. But I think I have enough people interested in the project that other people will help me as part of their jobs to do the oversight, hopefully. The standard culverts, we got like 10 bids for each culvert, and they were like half of them were underbid, like under the engineer's estimate for both culverts.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. And we chose J.A. McDonald to do the Standard Mountain Road culvert, which is the intersection, and Goodhue Excavation to do the Lazy Mill Road culvert. So both of those subcontracts are signed between the town and the construction firm. And the town is working on securing the financing for loans. And I've set it up as best as possible so that I hope that the town doesn't end up having to pay a lot in interest for their loans, basically to pay the contractor for then me to pay the town. So I'm trying to get it moving as quickly as possible on the town's behalf. But yeah, I hope that I've set it up so that it works out for them. But that's that.
We skipped Jackson Dam, but I saw your
Do you see the digger
article.
article? Yeah. Did you see the digger article too? Yeah, a lot of people sent it to me. I was like, not ready for this. So what we're doing now is I have SLR contracted, and that we're going to pay them through Memorial County NRCD's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Partners Agreement, similar to how we used the NRC's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Partners Agreement to pay for the feasibility study. So we're using yet another entity's Partners Fish and Wildlife agreement because they all have end dates on them. So these entities aren't going to spend their money because of other projects that haven't gone through, and so they're like looking for place. Julie knows that, and she's helping them look for places to spend it. So this in between like this feasibility and a full contract at 30% design, like SLR is going to help us develop a scope of work for 30% design. And in order to do some of that work, they want to do it under contract, which makes sense because what I'm going to do is ask anyone who would be more deeply involved in the regulation of a project like this to review the feasibility study as well as a draft scope of work to be like, yes, this would provide us enough information to feel like we could work with you to permit this project. Because this project is going to be really big and very different than any other dam removal in Vermont. Millions of dollars, like so many thousands of yards of cubic sediment, of cubic yards of sediment to deal with. And so it's going to need a different approach than other dam removals. Primarily, like what we're thinking now is that it'll need to be staged, sort of. So you would like the general concept is you would draw down the lake, and it's hard to know how much you would do that, but they do it every winter, maybe a little more than that, and see what sediment stays in place, basically, and not remove the dam. So keep the dam there, which is safer when you're trying to figure stuff out. And see what sediment stays in place by itself and therefore wouldn't mobilize, we don't think, if the dam were actually removed. Because that's the danger, right? Is like the sediment you don't remove, you don't want it to mobilize all at once and like mess stuff up downstream. So the idea would be to remove it, let what will stay in place, stabilize in place, stabilize in place, and then make a plan for how much to remove when you remove the dam. So instead of just like wholesale assuming that anything that's dangerous we have to take out, just see what stays there. And so anyways, this is complicated. It's going to require a different approach. So I have asked regulars to get together on a virtual basis with SLR to sort of like brainstorm together what information we need to gather in the next phase of the design, essentially. And then SLR and I will present that at the select board meeting. They asked us to come back with a cost estimate and what would be like what the plan would be to for the next stage of design. So no one said no yet, but no one also has agreed to remove the dam because they don't have the information to remove it yet. And this might be a situation where we have to get pretty far into the design for people to know whether or not they can say yes or no,
Well,
right?
VT Digger presented it
Yeah, how
like
did
they're
you read it?
screwed and they got to do something, and rebuilding the dam sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, they have
That's
very
what I
I do
read.
think they have limited options at this point. Like the dam is in real pretty from all from what we can tell, the dam is in pretty bad shape and it's a pretty big hazard. And no one taxpayers are going to pay for repairing it or rebuilding it. Taxpayers may still pay to remove it, but I don't think as much. I can't say that for sure. And that's part of the challenge of presenting this to the select board is like, yes, I'm hoping to get all this fundraised, but I don't have it, so I can't promise that. But I know that there are no sources of funding to support repair or
Right, that's an
to
important.
support repair and maintenance. I know that's not possible. I'm like 99% sure that's not possible. So that's an important piece of information. So yeah, that's exciting.
Cool. Good
And
job.
I'm going to try to keep it That was a great article because it was like very factual. It didn't quote me at all. It just had my picture, and I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want. So that's that. I guess two quick things. Karina got a Vermont Watershed Grant to do some landowner outreach and vernal pool events with the HERP Atlas people, Vermont HERP Atlas people that are based in the Champlain Valley. She's going to pay them to come over and do some amphibian identification,
Oh, cool.
vernal pool type workshops.
Oh, I'd love to
Yeah, so she's excited about that.
get in on that. Boston is part of a go out at night and stop cars to look at things across the road. So that would be super fun.
Cool.
I'm interested in that too.
Same vibe. And then the last thing on here is the National Stream Restoration Conference. So I somehow got looped into this group of all women actually who applied to do a presentation at the National Stream Restoration Conference. And I said I would do it too without having fundraised all to go there. But I think so I claimed the free registration, which means I actually have to present. So I'm not sure why I did that. Which is $800. So it's like kind of a lot actually, the registration itself. I think I can get a Lake Champlain Basin Program Professional Development mini grant, which would be $500. So that would cover probably, if I shared a room with someone, probably cover the accommodations. So I don't know. So I'm gonna what I'm gonna do is put it in the budget. We do budget for $1,000 a year for everyone for professional development, and I'm not good at keeping track of that. And I think part of what I want to do next year is like do a better job of keeping track of what's under that budget and what people have used and what they haven't. So I'm thinking with that $1,000 plus the 500 plus the waived registration fee, and then my time, I think I'm going to try to pay for with the capacity building grant that we currently have. It's not in that yet, but I think I could switch the scope of work a little bit to support my time, just my time to be there. So like paying me hourly for 8 hours a day for 3 days basically is all I would ask for. And it's at the end of August in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see. But yeah, I just wanted to flag that.
All right.
Any other questions about projects? We're jamming.
I think we should just combine. Now, this may be totally unfair, but I'm imagining that the Venn diagram of dredging and kill all the coyotes may. So do we just like go all in and it's one workshop?
It's hard to know what as a conservation district makes sense for us to sort of support and like take a stand on and what it makes sense. Like, I don't see us as an advocacy organization. But
But it's tricky.
some things aren't advocacy. They're just like, these are the facts and the facts point us toward X, So it's something that I think all the districts struggle with a little bit is like how to weigh in where it's appropriate.
Wonder if there is, I mean, I think the other piece of it is, your free time to do this, right? But
No, I don't.
what are the, would it be possible as a, hey, when you have some free time, the three of you work on, here are the one pagers on a few topics that seem to come up a lot in town or in Caledonia County. And it could be like dredging and fragmentation of property and
So we have
like,
like
is there?
that would be a good grant actually to
Yeah,
like
actually,
write up
right?
explainers like that. It's hard because sometimes when you propose stuff like that, they're like, this exists, it's right here. And you just don't know where it is, or it's not quite what you want, or whatever. But I think we could do a better job of compiling stuff like that because I think people from the state have written like 181
But
explaining, right? Their own tier, whatever. I don't
even
know.
if it were fine, then this
Linking
maybe it's
it.
a smaller grant, but you give somebody the time to do the research and then to boil it down to a digestible for us in this area. Here's the
Here's what
learning
this
to
would
take.
mean. Totally. I think we could definitely do a better job of having our website be a place where people could go for information on that kind of stuff. It's about our capacity to create a website like
Totally,
that and
totally.
keep it maintained, right? But yeah, I mean, I feel like we do talk to people enough that in one specific area. That definitely comes up. Okay.
Cool.
Anything else?
I am working with Sam,
Oh
my
yeah.
culvert replacement,
Right.
and he's taking.
Did you work out the conflict of interest concern that you had about
Yeah.
finding? Okay.
So for the council, the money for this culvert replacement came through the Conservation Council. And
Willie signed stuff, of
I
course.
signed the grants, the sub grants through the council. And so it was like all these ones for Essex. And that was worth like sending a scope to Sam. And then I got this email that was like, why not from the council, like pay for this culvert replacement? And I was like, I can't sign it. So Claire can sign all this stuff for
Okay,
me. So she just
great.
signed it.
So she said, no worries, I'll just
She
sign it.
signed all the stuff for Essex.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. That's cool. Where's the culvert? In East Haven.
It's on Walters Farm Road,
Okay.
so like off 114. I don't know, I think it's after the little village area and you see them all a little bit. Yeah. And I'm gonna get some survey equipment. And this survey equipment company is going to lend me some equipment to try out.
Cool.
And lend me some $10,000 equipment to try out.
Nice.
He's like, I lend this out to people and then they buy it. So
So I'm gonna
he's
do
like, I'll bring
it
it by, you do a
for
couple jobs, and then you'll know exactly where
you too. Yeah,
you're
totally, totally.
going.
That's cool. That's great.
Or not. Or these are the only two jobs that I'll
I'm
have.
definitely going to buy
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing is the m next meeting is June 8th. That will have that's like sort of a bigger meeting. It's going to have performance. I think that's when we'll do the performance review. That's what we had talked about doing it on the fiscal year because it makes a little more sense. We could do it in July or August instead, but then I don't know. I'll at least bring it up in June. It's probably what I'll bring up, and I hopefully will have some kind of budget to present. That's always my goal is to have that
I
always.
will confirm this is the first end of the school year I've ever done, at
Yeah.
least, but
Yep.
and that's the last, it's the last 4 days of school.
Yep. It's a Monday.
And
Yep.
very screwy schedule things going on, but
Okay.
I should be fine.
Okay. Yeah, the 15th, we could delay it till the 22nd. The 15th we have like a in-person staff gathering, which is the next Monday. So we could do the 22nd or 29th. Yeah. So just whenever you.
I mean, if it's a longer meeting, I mean the 22nd, then I'll be free and tired again, and I could get to.
Okay. Cool. I'm wondering if we're gonna run. I could
Or
pull the
just or
people.
go
Stick with
ahead.
the 8th.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll double check now and see if there's anything.
Yeah, if there's anything glaring, we can definitely move it. And then yeah, I'll see you all Saturday the 2nd.
Yeah.
Complete sale.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm gonna herd my cats over to Greenus riparian planting on 28.
Oh yeah, that's right. So exciting. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, I don't think Taylor or I is gonna be there, so
Oh, okay.
yeah.
So
I
he's.
mean, frankly, Taylor knows more about riparian plantings than I do, to be honest. Like, I've facilitated one. She has also facilitated one.
Yep.
Like, we're all pretty new at this. So I think Karina's going to do a great job.
Who will be there?
Karina.
Oh, so Karina's.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
her project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been great. We've gone back and forth on timing and stuff.
Quite
So
a few things. Yeah. Okay,
nice. Yeah.
thanks. I will stop the
You want me
recording.
to come look at your driveway? Yeah, I mean, it's probably the, it's probably the 15.